Here we go. Thank you, Aaron. Let's see. It is the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. You write to us as MyNorthWest.com or that Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. I'll text welcome. Wow, a lot going on. Can we get through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Five stories. Let's do them all. Here we go. Diving in the news. Yeah. All righty, Sherry.
All right.
National Public Radio. Well, my prediction was that after this guy, Berlinger, came out and did a piece for Free Press, basically saying, man, NPR has lost its way. He'd been there for like 20-some years or something. And he just said, you know, they're so caught up in all this DEI stuff. And then he basically gave examples of how we were all in on the Russia thing. And then we realized we completely screwed the pooch on that one. We should have come out and adjusted. We should have made changes, but we didn't. We ignored it. And he just basically pulled back the curtain that most of people were saw. They knew NPR was lean heavy left, but they had no idea this sort of weird ideology, this bizarre everything is about race and just continually just pounding away at every single story as everyone's racist. It was so woke. I don't know if he had mentioned the CEO. I guess he did, right? He said something. He might have put her somewhere in there about how she came in and really made sure that they were entirely focused on that. And then he also talked about how that they were all in to destroy Trump, that what stories can we do to hurt Trump and really damage his presidency. So this is the piece that comes out, and then it makes a big deal. Everybody's jumping all over it. See, I told you. Then they, I guess they suspended him for a week, right? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
5 days.
Yeah. Right. And let's see. Is there sound on this one too, Mr. Joe? No. So they suspend him for a while, and then I guess he said today, I'm going to resign. So he quits. Here's
what he says. I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems that I cite in my Free Press essay. Mm-hmm. She says he does not support defunding NPR, but he can't work for them anymore. This is a woman who's been on the job about a month or so. And when they went back and looked at some of her tweets and some of the things that she said, it's clear that she's got an absolute left-leaning viewpoint. But one of the things that she said
she's
was,
as woke as you can get. I mean, she's like a robot. If you were to create some sort of AI woker, that would be her. I mean, she lives and breathes it. She went after Hillary Clinton in 2016, I wish Hillary wouldn't use the term boys and girls. It's very demeaning or something, non-binary. And then Trump's a racist and everything's horrible and Thanksgiving's an awful time. You don't eat your turkey because, you know, it's all about oppression. She's almost like a parody.
Well, and one of the other things that she wrote was her dream vacation would be with Kamala Harris. That if she could take a trip, a dream girl's trip, that would be her companion, her travel companion of choice.
I think also
you need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
That's what she would say. That's if the CEO of National Public Radio said, should we do one more day or should we fly back tomorrow? And then the vice president would say something like that. I mean, they could get on a big yellow school bus. Berlinger also realized, because a bunch of people that worked at NPR were so mad at him.
Yeah.
That they're like, you cannot come back in here again. So I guess he realized, I'm not going to go back. But a lot of people, right? I mean, Barry Weiss leaves the New York Times because it had gotten so bad. A lot of journalists realized, like, something happened. Something has really happened, how the media covers stories. And I guess if you're trying to think of how other people view it rather than just bashing away at them, what I think is they have in their mind, they've gotten themselves so worked up that Donald Trump is like Hitler, but without the mustache. And if we could stop him, we could save the world. So the ends will justify the means. Yes, we'll do this and do this to try to undermine him. But listen, ultimately, in the end, we're saving everybody because we're so smart and a bunch of rubes that are so dumb that think that he's some sort of savior or something. They just don't know. So we're gonna do everything we can to undermine him as best we can to save the world from Donald Trump. right? So that's it's, but this woman is all in. This guy leaves. The only, I guess the next shoe to drop or Birkenstock would be the revenue. So when NPR says we only get 1% of our budget from the government, that's
10%.
It's not even, because it all comes from this corporation of public broadcasting. That's the big thing. Congress gives $500 million to it every single year. And then that, they've got to buy it. All the different stations have to buy pieces of it and stuff. So they make more than just 1%. That was one of the numbers they had out there. So I'm sure somebody, Marjorie Taylor Greene or somebody else, is going to say, hey, let's whack that thing out of the budget next year. Why are we supporting a radio station that is neither national nor public? And who listens to it anymore? And I always say, it's not fair to like regular radio stations. It's like, oh, look at those guys are beating you in the ratings. You know, any other commercial radio stations, because we stop and take a break and have some great sponsors. They don't have to do that over there because they just roll right into the next story. But so many of the stories were just so unbelievably slanted on everything.
Yeah, I think this guy has a bright future. I think there will be people that will pick him up immediately after having done this. But I don't think NPR will ever get defunded. It's a sacred cow. People would, even though it's, I don't know what their ratings are compared to other news stations, but I don't see it going away. I see them being more aware now that this has come to light, but it's going to stick around.
I don't think you could change it, because culturally what you do as the head of this thing, you hire other people that are just as brainwashed as you are. Mm-hmm. So you culturally, you'd have to get rid of all those people, but you don't want to do that because you're checking boxes and you're bowing to the god of the DEI. So you've got them all in there. You can't get rid of them now. So other people will leave that would possibly. Is Scott Simon still there or no?
Yes.
He's still there?
I think he's on in the morning. I think he's on Morning Edition on the weekends.
Right, right. Weekend Edition with Scott Simon. He's still doing that show?
Yeah,
I believe
so. Okay. Yes.
I got to know him pretty well. I was living in D.C., not too well, but I went to a couple of parties with him. And he's such a nice guy. And he was living at the Watergate Hotel, and he got accidentally, when he went into his own bathroom of his little apartment, and he locked the door of his own bathroom, which I gave him a hard time for. Like, you're all by yourself. Why are you locking the bathroom door? Well, anyway, it was an old apartment, and he got stuck in there. But he's such a nice guy, and he's so conscientious. He didn't want to bang on the door because he didn't want to disturb his neighbor. So he's stuck in there for like 2 hours or something like that. My brother was at this party, and he was there. And Chuck went up to him and goes, I'm a huge fan. Oh, thanks, Chuck. And Chuck goes, yeah, you know what I love that you do, Scott, is when you go to finish an interview, you'll say something like, Sherry Elliker? And then the person will go, yes. And then you'll say, thank you. Right? That's a Scott Simon thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And Scott goes, I didn't realize I did that, Chuck. Oh. And Chuck goes, oh, yeah. I mean, that's classic Scott Simon. So Scott does the Saturday show and then called me after the show was over, like at 2 o'clock, goes, tell your brother he ruined my show, because all I was aware of that I kept doing that. I never knew that I did that. But now I was so aware that I always sign off that way on interviews that it really messed me up. How do you not know that you do that?
I met him at an after SAG party one time and somebody introduced
me. Sweet guy.
Yeah. Well, they introduced me. This is Scott Simon. I never had listened to NPR. And then they walked away. And I said, so, Scott, are you an actor or are you in radio or, what's your association here? And he did look a little like taken aback, like, how could you not know? And Bob Edwards was the same way. He came in. We interviewed him. He's just recently passed away. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who he was.
Sherry.
Now I know. Now I really do listen.
Yeah, now you know. Because,
Like,
when was this? Like, 50 years ago? How do you not know these people?
Well, I wasn't a listener. I mean, that back then.
Bum, 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 bum,
I listened to the radio.
No,
I
Adams.
Am I the only one that wants to know how I got out of the bathroom?
I forget. It's
such a great question. I ask myself that every day.
I don't remember. Huh. I don't remember. Oh, maybe he called. He didn't have a phone because it was before cell phones. I think somebody maintenance or he banged on the door, but he did get out after. Oh, we obviously got out. Did the rest of the show from his bathroom. Yes.
Then he said, maintenance man? Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Jackson? Yes. Thank you for getting me out of the bathroom. China has a unique way of punishing citizens for outstanding debt. This is part of their social metric analysis, and they keep track of people. Right now, they're doing it on a million people. And they're watching
it. Right?
Social score. And you get a certain number of points. And once you drop down below that, then all sorts of bad stuff happens to you. And they're watching you all the time. You don't give your seat to an old lady on the subway, or you cross the street, or you jaywalk, or whatever. You don't pick up after your dog, or whatever else it is. You don't have a mask on. So the cameras are watching all the time. They know who you are because they're tracking you by your phone. So they give you a score, start a certain score, and then they just keep deleting, 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 and all the way down. And once you get to a certain number, well, then life gets a little harder. What are they going to do to you in China, Sherry, if you don't pay some of your debts?
Well, if you have debt, you're penalized. It's not like here where you get forgiveness. They have no such thing as bankruptcy there. So they can do a lot to you. They can seize your salary. They can restrict you from government jobs. They can also stop you from getting access to high-speed trains, air travel, and hotels.
Right. Right. So let's say you wanted to book a nice hotel, right? You won't be able to book those. You go online to book it, it will reject you. So can't. Then they send you the lousy hotels. So they just start taking away, quote unquote, luxuries from you.
Well, I don't know that it's taking away the luxuries. I mean, that is obviously what they're doing. But they're also saying, if you owe us money, you're not going to spend excessively on that when you should be paying us.
Oh, okay. Well, they should come to America, because when you owe debt, you could just have the President of the United States ignore the U.S. Constitution.
Today, too many Americans, especially young people, are saddled with unsustainable debts in exchange for...
Shouldn't take out the loan.
Right.
Who will pay it back? You can't write it off. You don't write it off. Someone has to pay it, and it's the American people will pay off the debt.
College degree. The ability for working and middle-class folks to repay their student loans has become so burdensome.
Why? Why has it become so burdensome? Is it because of interest rates? Is it because inflation? Why is it so burdensome? And why are you going to ask some guy who never went to college to pay for somebody who did go to college and now can't pay it off?
But a lot can't repay it for even decades after being in school.
You took a crappy class, you got a stupid degree, and nobody wants to hire you. And now you owe money on it, and you can't pay it because you got a stupid degree. And now you owe $100 and some a month or something like that. And Joe Biden wants you to vote for him, so.
Starting this fall, we plan to deliver up to $20,000 in interest relief to over 20 million borrowers and full forgiveness for millions more.
How about the guy that didn't go to college but took out a loan to buy a pickup truck so that he could have a business and he could haul around a bunch of pipes or wood or something so he could build people's decks, but he owes like $65,000 on the truck, right? Or maybe he's taking out loans on tools or something like that. So we could actually produce something. You're going to write his debt off?
Oh, no. I don't care.
Thank you. No, he doesn't care. Yeah. This is so interesting that I'm trying to figure out who I could source it. I've only found one source on it. Here's a theory that was floated. Do you know why they let 12 million illegal immigrants into the United States?
Maybe because they don't have the requirement of showing, they don't have to prove that they're citizens. So therefore, you get 12 million more voters, and chances are
workers. It starts as workers. So inflation starts to go up, and inflation gets into a cycle. So the guy goes to the boss and says, hey, I'm making $21, but things are going to pay me more expensive. Can I get paid more? Now the guy goes, yeah, I'll give you a raise, $3. And now once it gets into that cycle, then inflation really starts to heat up, right? Because then we get paid more and more, because now all of a sudden you've gone from 21 to 24. So now it's more expensive. And then I got to charge more for food or charge more for services. And you get into this wicked cycle. So the theory is, let 12 million people in and let them take jobs, and that will reduce inflation, because what you're doing is you're suppressing wages. So for the longest time, we heard that illegal immigrants were not suppressing wages, but then all of a sudden they realized, hey, we can do this and use this as a form of suppressing wages. It doesn't happen in Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is so tightly controlled by the federal government, state governments, because of the casinos, that they know every single person that works in those casinos. So the people that are working in the hotels there are making $22 an hour. So it's, you can't get in there and hire somebody illegally to undercut somebody, because it's simple supply and demand. If you have more workers, you don't have to pay as much because you'll have more people applying for the job. One guy applying, if you're going to try to get that guy, you'll pay him more. But if you flood the market with lots of workers, then it does bring down inflation. And that's something from two or three economists that I had seen that said that's what Biden's people wanted to do. Let's flood the market with workers. That'll stop us from getting into this death cycle where all of a sudden inflation just continues to spire higher and higher and goes above 9.2% or wherever it was a couple of years ago. So how can we do that? Let's bring it down, suppress the wages by having more workers that'll work, and then you don't have to bid for workers. And it's like, well, isn't that fascinating? Plus, the other theory, as you mentioned, Sherry, is that if you bring these people in, when it comes to the census, they're going to be counted, and then you're going to be able to get congressional seats based upon the number of people, the population. So that was the other thing that they think is going on right now.
Right, and the votes, because you don't necessarily have to, I mean, in some places, you don't have to prove your citizenship. You don't have to really do anything. And so you can go in, register to vote, and vote in the general election without a lot of consequences.
You can locally. You can locally vote, right? And you can get a driver's license now. But
yes.
Now, is that enough to just all of a sudden then have somebody send you a ballot? But it's really about the proportion of the census. That's the thing that you can get in there. Because you bring like 10, 12 million people in, they're in certain cities, you're going to get yourself another seat there in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll help you out. Anyway, interesting times we live in. But the good news is, Scott Simon got out of that bathroom and you did not know who he was.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay.
John Curley?
Yes?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Nate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Talk a little baseball real fast.
Aaron's got a question for you. The Bears are going to take this one and off we go to Colorado, the Rockies.
On the right track there, John. 9-10 on the season now, approaching 500 after a rough start.
Rockies are really rocky.
Rockies are no good, so they should probably sweep the Rockies too, but it's a road series.
Tickets
you never know.
Still available?
I would think tickets are available in Denver, yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Music's still going for some reason. This is brought to you by Aaron, the Look of the Mariners.
Sting it out there.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Sherry.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a long cut. Aaron didn't have a lot to say since they won.
Let's see.
Oh, quick story. So I'm flying to New York to go do a couple auctions. I'm on this plane, and I got these earbuds in because you put the earbuds in international sign. You don't want to talk to
it. Move on.
No, you have, you have not heard it. I haven't even told the story yet. So I got him in there. Big guy sitting next to me. Big. He's got the dark sweatpants on, the sweatshirt, kind of like classy-looking sweatshirt and stuff. Got the big guy, and he just wants to talk. So he's doing a lot of seats, that kind of stuff. Trying to, but nope. International sign, got the little white earbuds in there, so he can't talk to me. So he realizes, he's going to talk to the people next to him. So those two are people. So now he's crossed the aisle at chewing on this woman's ear. And I would say with about 45 minutes to go on the flight, and it's landing, getting in late, like 12 at night. My earbud falls out. It goes between the seat. It's dark. I don't want to turn a light on. I can't find it. And while I bend down to find that one, the other one drops out because I got shallow ear holes. But don't hold it against me. And then he realizes, like at that point, you know, I'm like a wounded animal. I'm like a antelope with a bad ankle at the watering hole. He's coming in for the kill. He's like, yeah, I was just telling these guys next to me. I was like, you know. All my friends were like, you know, you should definitely do stand-up because you're funny. You should do stand-up. You know, so I'm Jewish, right? So I mean, I'm Jewish, right? So it's in my blood, right? So I signed up for this class. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Did you make eye contact?
I have to at this point because he's right beside me. And then he goes, so I'm nervous, you know, but I got like a good 20 minutes I've written. So I show up there and I get to tell you, I killed. I mean, I just, and I've never done it before, but that's the crazy thing. It's like, because I'm just funny. I'm just a funny guy. You find that out, I'm like, I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
You know, because like a lot of people, you're funny. You should do stand-up. So I take the class. I'm the best in the class, right? I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I'm just like, I'm like, damn my shallow ear holes. So he's like, he was like, well, and I said, so I'm there, okay, I'm just going to throw him off the setup. I said, so when do you write? Oh, you know, I just live my life and like stuff happens. I do funny things and I'm like, so I make a note. Like I keep like a little pad. I make notes and stuff like that. I was like, Okay, like the other day. So I start out. This is what I started with, right? And it was great. Big joke. So I walk into this deli. I'm in a deli. Going to deli. Like a nice, you know, sandwich, right? So I said to the guy, hey, you know, can I have a sandwich? So I order the sandwich. And the guy says to me, you got any food allergies? I said, food allergies? Look at me. You think I got food allergies? It kills. They're rolling in the aisle. I'm like, So I'm trying
to lose.
Like
he's rolling in the aisle.
Yeah. So I'm trying to lose weight. I'm like, oh, my God. He's figured it out that he's got like 15 minutes till we land. He's going to do his whole set.
Yep.
And I'm like, is there a 2-drink minimum? And I hope one of them is like botulism or like something that's just going to kill me. And I'm like, now I'm stuck. Yeah. So like I said, I got to lose weight. You know, I'm trying to lose weight. So like, I go on, I'm going to buy an e-bike, right? An e-bike. I don't want a real bike. I get an e-bike, right? You know, but so I'm on there, I'm like buying the bike. And then he's like, are you a robot? I'm like, yeah, I got to prove I'm not a robot. I'm buying an e-bike. And I'm like,
that's kind of funny.
Okay, Sherry.
I don't even know what's an e-bike. Oh, electric bike.
Yeah, what?
Sherry. Jeez, Sherry, get out much? Yeah, they had a special commie night for shut-ins like yourself.
No, I've just never called.
There's a 2-drink minimum of inshore.
Stop. I've never heard it called an e-bike. I've heard it called electric bike.
Okay, e-bike. Okay, sorry.
E that for electric. Kind of funny.
Oh my God! You know what? Then you should have been on there. I could have opened the exit door and thrown myself out. It was Alaska plan. I was waiting for the hatch to blow off. Yeah. Did you please take me with you?
Praying for it.
And then he's like, yeah, I do some Jewish stuff because I'm Jewish, right? So then he says, my parents were so cheap. You know, when it came to circumcision, they didn't use a knife. They just tore. Oh, I can't remember how I did the joke. Hang on. And with that, he gets onto his phone. He looks it up. Oh my God. I'm waiting. He's like, okay. Well, my parents were cheap. Yeah, they didn't have it done. Yeah. So my parents were so cheap, they didn't bother to use a scalpel. It was a cheap one. So we call that not a circumcision, but a ripoff. Oh my God. My wife, she's Filipino, so she's really small, you know. So, I've lost like 5 pounds. And I was like, can you tell I've lost weight? She goes, yeah, because when we're making love, like, it takes me only 10 minutes to pass out instead of 2. Sherry, don't laugh at this stuff. Don't laugh. What are you doing?
That's kind of funny.
Okay, you know what? We're doing another story. If you're going to laugh at this. Obviously, you haven't been out in a while. You don't even know what an e-bike is.
What? No, I mean, okay, you got to admit that when the visual you have in your head is kind of funny about that.
I know. But the problem is when, like, you're sitting right beside somebody and the seats are fake, so you have to turn your head and the guy's, like, 6 inches from your face doing, he's got a big head and he's doing it right into the side of my face.
I sympathize with that. And the other thing is you can't laugh at just one. If you start laughing, you've got to do every single one.
Did you give them like a courtesy laugh?
No, I was doing the thing comedians do, which is where they don't laugh at anything. They go, that's good. That's good. I was giving them that thing because I've seen David Spade do that. It's funny. That's funny. That's good. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You got any more?
He's like, I was going to do more. I'm probably going to go back and do some more. Because, like, people are like, you got to do this, you know. You got to do this. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll do this. I don't know. Like, I probably will. I said, I know a couple of comedians and stuff. Well, how do you know comedians? I've been in TV for a while and stuff. I have a radio show. You got a podcast? Nope, don't have a podcast.
No. But you do have a podcast.
Yeah, I think
you technically do. You can say legitimately that you do have a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, and then he wanted to come on. Maybe I could come on, like, do some stuff. Oh, okay, God. You know what? Sure, I do have his number, so why don't I have him come on and just slay you, huh? Some of his best stuff.
I wouldn't mind that. I think it would be kind of fun to do that.
Did
we
you
had
try looking
psychics
him up?
On.
I did. I looked them
up.
Oh,
we're going to do that again, by the way.
What's that, Sherry?
Psychics.
Yes, the psychics, yes. Psychics are going to come back on again.
Yeah, did you find like his Instagram or anything? Like a YouTube?
He goes by, I've written down, because he has a stage name.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was so nervous.
Of course
I got there.
He does.
I was so nervous. I got there like 3 hours ahead of just in the car, you know, just like sitting in the car, just like, it's bad. I had like bad diarrhea and stuff. I was like, okay. All right.
Is this a joke? Or?
No, that was him just before he went on. He had bad diarrhea because he's so nervous.
Yeah.
I was like,
happens.
You know, I don't know. Does Seinfeld like have like really bad diarrhea? I was like, I don't know if he's setting up for a joke or not. I'm like, you don't want to interrupt the joke.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know when you should really just fake your own death? It was two words, improv class. You know, at that point, forget it. They're not going to be funny. They're going to think a bunch of weirdos in the class have like laughed at their stuff because they have to laugh at each other.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's when you should have checked out.
Oh, my God. I did that I was a Civil War soldier for the weekend because a friend of mine was really into it.
Reenactment
stuff. And I came down with a bad case of dysentery because I just spent the entire time in my tent. And they're like, we're going to need your help out there. They've got these weird accents. I'm like,
that stuff is so weird.
I'm like, I got some dysentery. A lot of the men do. I'm like,
I don't know what
they country
get out
are you
of
from?
That.
Wait, what? Where right. are you from? Because they don't want to use their regular voice. Pretty bad dysentery. I can't move. Are you going to be in the tent all day? I'm like, yeah, pretty much in the tent for the whole weekend.
It's the strangest thing. I had a guy that I went to his house, and I said, isn't it like hot and awful out there if you do this during the winter? And he said, well, let me show you the coat. He put the coat on me, the overcoat.
Oh.
It must have weighed 70 pounds.
Right.
I crumbled under it. I mean, it was, I was like that guy's wife.
Yeah.
Hey.
Look at you.
That's how bad it is. I'm telling you.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Yeah. Look at you. Huh? Look at you working your way back into the guy's joke. Good job, Sherry. You guys can do a show together. Ba-ba-ba-ba. The John Curley, Sherry Alico show following us. But Instagram is a good idea. You can go to the John and Sherry Show. Shari. That's how Sherry spells her name because she's so special. Mm-hmm. And, of course, writing to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew said the other day...
I don't think people really use that much.
Don't bother then. Your Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Welcome. I don't know why Heinz Ketchup decided to do this other than the fact that I guess people are going to talk about it because here we are talking about it. It is an interesting way of sort of just making ketchup newsworthy, if it's even a thing. What do you pay for ketchup insurance, Sherry?
Okay. Well, if you look at the terms and conditions, this is something that they make it look like, okay, if you've got all these different, there's like 57 things that can happen.
Because you know
for
why?
For instance.
Why?
57, Heinz 57.
There you go. Good. Okay.
Okay. Number four is a total bummer. You accidentally sit on a packet of ketchup. Number 18, speed spills. And that's you're trying to put ketchup in a moving vehicle. And 35 is sorry, boss, spills a massive amount of ketchup at work. And so if you send a picture to them of this catastrophe that's happened, they will acknowledge it.
Brilliant.
But if you read the fine print,
yeah.
This is purely a promotional campaign that celebrates our customers' love for Heinz ketchup through a creative lens. We are in no way launching any kind of legally binding insurance program. This experience is solely for entertainment purposes and does not form a part of insurance coverage.
Smart.
Yeah.
Right.
So they are saying you can send it in, you can make it up, you can do whatever you want, but they're not going to give you anything for it.
Maybe we should start following them on Instagram.
Wow, I know. Watching Catch Up Disasters, that's way up there. That's just so cool.
So I said to my wife, I'm like, so I like catch up, you know, like I'm catching my eyeball guy. Anticipation by Carly Simon. That was the most famous ketchup commercial ever.
That's right.
Person sitting there waiting for it.
Yeah. But which one is the one where if you take the bottle and you knock it on one of the letters
on the 57,
of it.
I think.
Oh, the 57. It is Heinz, okay, yeah, and then it'll come out.
And then it comes out?
Yeah. Yeah, it works. And you know what? One of my neighbors invented the squeeze bottle for ketchup.
Oh, brilliant. They still live next to you?
They live around the corner, but he's, you know, he's kind of an older man now, but I loved hearing about it. It was kind of cool.
How long does that story take? So then I thought, why not put it in a plastic bottle?
Squeeze bottle.
And then you...
Well, he kind of went into the whole, you know, design and the team that, and he never really took credit for it. He let the team take credit. It was one of those stories.
Uh-huh. Right. And so where does he live in relationship to you?
Around the corner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Why, you want to visit?
No, I was having Andrew slowly take your volume down. I think you'd be in the middle of the story. We're going to see what you do there.
Okay. Thanks for trying.
You ever said anything about my beard? It. Come on. Huh?
Well, I don't see you today.
Oh, yeah, no. That's right.
No, I want to see you.
No, I'm too sexy for you.